Hello, and welcome to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, bringing on the latest in reality TV and pop culture. It's a new day, ladies and gentlemen. Breathe it in. You smell that? That is the smell of a well-rested Morgan Preston, because I'm not waking up at 4:30 in the morning anymore. It's a new era. She is coming into her own. It is business era for Morgan P Talks. Yes, this is my first podcast officially. Okay, David and I are having this conversation. I have no idea what to tell people that I do for a living. What do I do for a living? No, really. We're having this conversation. We've had it for weeks. We've come up with a couple different things, but every time I try to get it out, I feel like I sound like a moron. Like, David was like, or no, I first came up with, I was like, oh, I'll tell people that I have a social media business. So they'll be like, oh, what are you doing now? Oh, I have my own social media business. And David's like, no, that sounds like you're in marketing. And I'm like, well, I'm definitely not in marketing. And so he's like, say that you have your own media company, which I do have an LLC. So I guess that's technically right. But then also when I tell people, I'll be like, oh, I have a podcast. They look at me like, oh, you're poor. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not rich. So we're just kind of spiraling. So if you have any suggestions for me on what to tell people that I do for a living now, I'm a full-time MPT girly. We have some things to discuss, but I first want to tell you a little follow-up to last week's podcast. I'm going to see Tom Sandoval on The Most Extras. The tickets have been purchased. Morgan P Talks at your duty, reporting for duty, saluting, because I'm taking one for the team. I say I'm taking one for the team, but I really want to go. I want to go. I want to see what all the fuss is about. I want to see it in the flesh. I'm going to see it in the flesh. David's coming with me. A group of my friends are going. So thank you for all the support for the T's and P's through my season of struggle while I tried to figure that one out. But that's May 1st. So to be determined on that. Another little point of business that I need to attend to is I need to tell you guys what is happening on the Patreon, because this is kind of part of the expansion. We're going to be doing some stuff on MPT too on the podcast, but if you are a Patreon subscriber or if you want to become one, this is important information. So right now there's two tiers. We're going to open four tiers, okay? So the tiers that are current are going to be no longer. We have a, I say they're going to be no longer. They're just going to change a little bit. So right now we have what's called Pop of Batch, and then we have Extra Pop. So what we're going to do on the Patreon instead is have genre-specific tiers. So there's going to be a Bachelor tier. There's going to be a Celebrity and Pop Culture tier. There's going to be a Bravo tier. There's going to be a Survivor tier for my Survivor girlies. You can subscribe to any of these tiers, but there's going to be one tier that is above all. It's called the Lilas tier. The Lilas. David and I also fight about phonetically what that sounds like. L-Y-L-A-S. Love you like a sis. If you sign up for that tier, you get every Patreon tier. Okay. So one individual tier is going to be $5, because look, your girl's hustling in the streets. This podcast is free. Can't do anything else for free. All right. So if you want to support me in my dreams of honestly just having enough income to pay my rent, sign up for a tier. So like I said, the individual tiers are going to be $5, exclusive bonus content that I can't say online for fears of, sources and things like that. But the Love You Like Assist tier, you get every tier, plus you're going to get promo codes for exclusive merch that is coming soon. You're going to get promo codes for all of your favorite brands. You're going to get to go on my wedding dress fitting with me. You're going to get life updates. It's going to be a lot of content on that Love You Like Assist tier, and that is $10 a month. So if you are interested in two tiers, it's going to be beneficial for you just to get that Love You Like Assist tier, because that's what you would be paying for two tiers anyways, and you'll get four. So yeah, wedding stuff happening on Friday. I'll take you along with me. If you sign up for the Love You Like Assist tier, you will automatically be enrolled in the newsletter where you will also get discount codes to all your favorite brands. So we're out here hustling in the streets. This will start next week, but I'm going to finish out this week with Papa Batch and Extra Pop. However, you can now sign up for the Love You Like Assist tier, the Survivor tier, and the Pop Culture and Celebrity tier. So next week, Monday, check back. That's when the Bravo tier and the Bachelor tier will be live. But other than that, if you want to sign up for anything else, you can do that now. Okay, that was a lot. Let's get into the pop three. Biggest headlines in reality TV and pop culture. Are Golden Bachelor Gary and Teresa, are they living apart? Yes, according to multiple sources. It seems like every article that I read about this was like exclusively tells TMZ, exclusively tells Us Weekly. And I'm like, nobody got the exclusive because you all are running the same story with the same exclusive sources. So they were out here telling everybody, we're head over heels in love with each other, but we're not living in the same place. So Gary is in Northern Indiana. Teresa's in New Jersey. Why? Because moving sucks, per said sources. They say a lot of it has to do with the fact that moving is a complete and total hassle. They've each got their own established homes in their respective states, and moving everything into one pad would be time consuming. Duh, like insert duh here. Other than that, Teresa's job and what that means for her if she were to move. Gary and Teresa are super close to their families, and sources say moving away from either would be difficult for them. So still undecided on where to move. Charleston, South Carolina has been the place that they've said publicly because Teresa's son and grandchildren are in that area. But per the sources, long distance works for them. He's been to Jersey a few times, and Teresa is planning to go to Indiana next month. A few times. They've been married for 4 months. Don't all of these things sound like fantasy suite conversations? Where are we going to live? Who's going to move? What's our life going to look like after that? This is the downfall of The Bachelor in a nutshell. It's like, A, you don't have enough time to ask those questions because you're in your little love bubble and you don't want anything to pop it. B, this is the essential difference between Love is Blind and The Bachelor, is that Love is Blind is all in one city. So the moving aspect of it, having to uproot your life and do whatever, doesn't apply. And I feel like the living aspect of it is what is a downfall for a lot of Bachelor Nation couples. If they were to get engaged and live in the same city, they wouldn't have half of these issues. And I mean, let's not be around the bush. They say it a million times on the show, so I'm going to say it here. Gary and Teresa, they're in their last leg. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like anybody's going to want to pick up and start all over in the last leg, you know, move away from your family in the last portion of your life. It's like, you know, it was all fine and dandy to be like, I want to experience love. And like, of course, yes, they want to experience love. But obviously there are some caveats that come along with this that might not be conducive for a healthy relationship at this age. I mean, long distance only works for so long. Maybe it will work for them because they've been married before, because I don't know. It just seems cuckoo for me, truly. Let's move on to headline number two. What was the final straw for Brittany Cartwright and Jax Taylor? So Brittany was on Watch What Happens Live this week. She was kind of spilling the tea on where her and Jax are at this current moment. They're still separated. Brittany is still living in an Airbnb. She said that they got into a horrible fight. The veil was lifted and she noticed everything that was wrong in the relationship in that one moment. So she said the breaking point that she hit with Jax, she's like, it's hard to come back from. Once you're a woman and you hit that point, it's really hard to recover from it. I've seen some other articles circulating online where she's saying like the ball is in Jax's court. If Jax wants to go to therapy, then I'll consider it. But it's like Jax Taylor doesn't want to go to therapy unless it's Reiki therapy and he gets that girl that he let call him Jason. Y'all remember? I think that's like season 6. Wow. The filing cabinet of Vanderpump Rules knowledge is deep in the Morgy archives. Anyways, talk about Vanderpump archives. Listen to the fight that she said her and Jax got in that led to this split. She said he woke up one morning and was mad that she went out with Kristen the night before and made up a story in his own head about something that never happened. Ring a bell? What was that, season 5, where he also made up a story that Brittany and Kristen were together? I mean, we don't know if it's made up or if it's true. Brittany and Kristen both deny it. Jax will say that that happened till the day that he dies, I think. But, you know, she said, was there infidelity? Not that I'm aware of, and that she really doesn't think so because she did all of this digging to find out if he was unfaithful or not. She also said that their sex life was suffering. They weren't intimate at all. And she said that their marriage turned into a full-blown battleground where they fought over every little thing. And then she just wanted to remove herself from the situation. You know, I feel like everybody will sit here and say the writing was written on the wall. Like, yes, you married Jax Taylor of all people. But, you know, people have to go on their journey for themselves. They have to find these things that you can tell somebody something until you are blue in the face, and they will not get it until they experience it themselves. So we'll see. We're loving the valley. We're going to talk about the valley a little bit later on. Today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Finally, starting to get warmer. You want to spend your time outside and not in the kitchen. With Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. All right, headline number 3, Kristen Cavallari is talking about having a child with her new boyfriend. So this clip quickly went viral on social media. It's her Let's Be Honest podcast. She's talking to her best friend, Justin Anderson. She's talking about her new boyfriend, Mark. We know the age difference. He's 24. I believe she's 37. And they have discussed having a child together. She does have 3 children with her ex-husband, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, only celebrity to ever block me on Instagram. And honestly, I wear it as a badge of honor at this point. It's like, I know that I'm pretty outspoken. I try to be nice about things, but like Jay Cutler? Jay Cutler is like B-list to me. Upper B, like B-plus list. So the fact that I got blocked by Jay Cutler, honestly, I'm pretty proud of that moment. He got mad. He blocked me whenever the Kristen and Craig stuff was going on and whenever the Madison and Jay stuff was going on. That was like when I first started Instagram and TikTok. Wow. Wow. What a time to be alive. Anyways, this is what Kristen said on her podcast. She said, I'm not actively thinking about it, but it's definitely in the back of my mind because he wants to have a kid. So I'm mulling it over. She said, if she were to get pregnant, it would be different this time because she has a bigger support system. She says, my kids are old enough now where they can help. That would be nice. If he ends up really being the one, I would have a kid. Justin like choked on his drink. He's like, are you for real thinking about this? And she said, yeah, I have to. I mean, yes, it's become pretty serious, this relationship, I would say. You know, I'm a Kristen Cavallari fan. I'm happy for her if she's happy. Like I said last week, you know, sometimes you wonder what does a 24-year-old have in common with a 37-year-old, but you do find people in life that are mature for their age. I have a hard time grappling, I don't know if that's a word, the idea that a 24-year-old who is a part of an Instagram account called the Montana Boys with a Z is going to be like the most mature person in the world. Like the Montana boys, they spell it with a Z. And you are talking about having a baby with this person and the relationship is serious with the Montana boys with a Z. It's like, no disrespect to the Montana boys, but sounds like my worst nightmare. Truly what nightmares are made of. You know, Kristen is a country girl, so maybe it doesn't bother her, but could not be me. No disrespect to the Montana boys. I know the girlies love ya.
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTALKS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code POPTALKS. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis.
All right, let's move on to the deep dive. Every single week on my Instagram account at Morgan P. Talks, I open up the deep dive submissions. What do you want to know more about? This deep dive is a long time coming. It's from Clarice.
Hey, Morgan, it's Clarice from Riverview, Florida. It is time for deep dive on this season of Summer House. What do you think now that you've seen Carl and Lindsay this season and even Kyle and Amanda? Thank you so much. I love listening to your podcast every week.
Thank you. Love you like a sis. We've been waiting for this moment. I have been waiting for this moment. I've been taking it in. I've been marinating on all things at Summer House to really wrap my head around what is going on. I think first and foremost, we're all enjoying the season of Summer House, right? I feel like it is the perfect combo of drama and fun because summer should be fun. Everyone is clicking this season besides the couples. It's really hard to like go through it chronologically. So I think what I'll do is just go through the cast members and what I'm liking about each of them and what I'm finding interesting, and you get it. The newbies. Can we get a round of applause for the new slow clap for the newbies? West. Wes Wilson is the best casting decision that Bravo has had in such a long time. And even Jesse, I mean, Jesse is a big flirt. We should have issue with Jesse hitting on Paige, right? But like, I don't. He's likable. He's a likable flirt. I'm like, does he flirt too hard with Paige? Probably, but I still like him. So what are you going to do about it? West, too. I mean, just Bravo's breakout star. He's walking around in crochet bucket hats, you know, knee-high socks and Birkenstocks, short shorts, flat bill hats that say napkins on it. I'm obsessed with him. The rest of the Bravo sphere is obsessed with him. He's in a little showmance with Sierra, and I enjoy the two of them together. It's such a stark contrast from, I mean, I feel like we all hate, maybe I shouldn't say we all hate it. I hated Austin and Sierra together. Maybe it's just because deep down I know the type of man that Austin Kroll appears to be on these TV shows. And Sierra, I mean, like, could the girl get more beautiful? The answer is no. So I just always felt like she deserved a little bit better than Austin, but I never saw anybody break her out of her shell. And, you know, Kyle talks about that a lot during the season. Like, she's a tough one to crack, and you've just come in and not like swept her off her feet, but made her put her guard down. And we're really loving that. And she's funny. I mean, last year when she was Karma Brown, I was like, this is a side of Sierra that I want to see more of. And this year she shows up to the NASCAR thing as the big blow up balloon. It was funny, and they're vibing, and they're handsy, and they're cuddly, and you love to see it. I mean, I think we can all infer that it's not going to last very long because the lack of the digital footprint between the two, like, that is the tell-all for relationships in 2024. If they're not liking each other's stuff, they're not tagging each other in Instagram stories, like, should tell you something. But even the trio of Jesse, West, and Sierra, I'm loving it. So kudos to them. Let's move on to Paige and Craig. I want to dispel the rumor that I don't like Paige. Where did this start? I'm really wondering where people got the idea that I don't like Paige. I love Paige. I'm a recent giggler. I've converted into a giggler. And I think that the one issue that I had with Paige last season, and there was really only one issue, was that she was holding on to this, the bomb about the Craig article, right? Where it's like clearly that Craig article and her thinking that Lindsay is the one that leaked it to Sam Bush, who wrote the story, like a lot of resentment came from that. And all I said was, I would much rather hear about that in the season as opposed to at the end of a reunion for 5 seconds. That's it. Is that too harsh of a criticism? I don't think so. I appreciate a lot of things about Paige. I think she is very funny. I appreciate the fact that she has an independence to her. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, Paige and Craig won't last because X, Y, and Z. I mean, maybe Paige looked at what was going on with Tom and Ariana and that house situation and was like, I don't want that for my future. I will pay for my own apartment. I saw this on a TikTok and you have to wonder, like, in the apartment conversation, Craig is like, I'll pay extra, like whatever you can afford, I'll pay the difference so that we can get a bigger place. And like Paige definitely has more money than Craig, right? Like you have to have more money to live in New York City. She's got her podcast that's just filled with advertisements. She goes on her Amazon Lives. You know, she's doing the influencer life. And I'm not saying that Craig sewing down south isn't successful. Obviously, clearly it is. But like Paige does not need Craig's money. And I think we like that. We like a strong, independent woman. I think Craig is looking for little signs of long-term commitment. I don't think it's so much about the fact that Paige won't take his money. I think it's more the fact that, you know, it's hers and not ours. Do you get what I'm saying? Her word at the moment might not be enough for him and he needs to be reassured a lot. I don't necessarily blame him for that because you could see a strong independent woman like Paige who quite literally does not need no man and that could cause some insecurities, I'm sure. And I can relate to Paige at a certain point in my life. You know, I did 5 years long distance and there were people that were hounding me and David, when are you going to get engaged? When are you going to get engaged? And it's like everything happens on people's own timelines. And I was very much so like, I want to be independent. I want to do everything for myself. I want to build my own career. I want to have my own money. But I also learned that it's okay to not be able to do everything on your own. Like, I'll just be 100% transparent. If I wasn't married and we didn't have two incomes coming into this household, would I be able to take a financial risk of leaving, you know, a full-time job with health insurance? Probably not. So your partner is supposed to help and support you in reaching your goals. And I think sometimes Paige gets wrapped up in this, I'll lose my identity, I'll lose my independence if I get married. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, your husband or your wife is supposed to help you reach your personal potential. And that's a journey. And like I said before, that's a realization that you have to come to for yourself. And I do believe that Paige will come to it eventually. But in the meantime, she just wants it to be me, myself, and I. And that's her choice. Let's move on to Kyle and Amanda. I think that, you know, a lot of people were prepared for Carl and Lindsay drama. I was not as prepared for the Kyle and Amanda drama of it all. It almost feels like, though, it's not a true season of Summer House unless Kyle and Amanda are arguing about something. It's interesting because I feel like I agree with both of them on different arguments that they have, right? I'll give Amanda this. Kyle does not give Amanda enough credit when it comes to Loverboy. I mean, I feel like she's the creative director. She's what makes it look the way it does. She's what makes the merch look good. And you know, she said that she came up with the limoncello. So you think Loverboy, you think Kyle. So I give Amanda that. But at the beginning of the season, you know, Amanda was saying that Kyle doesn't spend much time with her. To me, it seems like when he does, she's annoyed by him. So I don't know. Like, if I were Kyle, would I be walking on eggshells, like trying to hang out with Amanda? Because every time, you know, she's annoyed, like the dinner table scene, right? They're all sitting at the dinner table. Craig is there and Kyle calls out Jesse in front of the entire house for hitting on Paige. And he's like laughing it off, right? Amanda does not think it's funny at all. To me, it's very obvious that Kyle is a reality TV maker, you know? And it was pretty obvious what he was trying to do in that moment, but Amanda did not like it. So I'm like, Amanda, you know this about Kyle. Like, you know that he wants to make good reality TV. You know, boys especially, like, you could flirt with a guy's girlfriend and you'll like punch each other in the face one time and then you'd be like, but we're good, but like dab me up, bro. Like that's the way the boys operate. So I don't think Kyle was trying to do anything malicious, but Amanda was very upset by that. And I think it's because a lot of times, you know, the guilty by association, where we see it later in the trailer where Sierra says to Amanda something along the lines of, I don't think you have an identity outside of Kyle, which is a bit harsh. But maybe Amanda internalizes that and thinks, well, if Kyle says that at a dinner table, people are going to be mad at me for that. I don't think that's true, but she might think that. Another big red flag, Amanda wanting to get her own place. You know, she's looking for places in New Jersey. Kyle seems like he has no urgency to leave New York City. I feel Amanda on this. It's like at 31 years old, you want a yard. You want rocking chairs on the front porch. You know, I need windows. I need space. And it seems like Amanda is yearning for that life and Kyle's not, which is a big, that's a big deal because that's the trajectory of your future. If you can't figure out what lifestyle you want. You know, do you want the New Jersey lifestyle where you have the big yard and you can go sit in the back patio and sip wine around a fire? Or do you want to live in a New York City skyscraper, you know, and be right next to the lover boy office? So it's all growing pains in a marriage. And I hope that they can, you know, grow together. I'm such a sucker. Like, even two people could be the most unhealthy people for each other, and I still want them to be together, Carl and Lindsay. Hello. Hello. It's pretty clear that they are putting Band-Aids over bullet holes and hoping that the bleeding will stop. It won't. It hasn't. There's a lot of things to get into when it comes to Carl and Lindsay. I mean, first and foremost, I talked about this on another episode, but you cannot accuse your partner of being on drugs on national television, especially someone who is sober, you know, someone who is going through their sobriety journey. I can't remember specifically how long it's been for Carl, but that is just a low blow. And, you know, she explains it later in more episodes about how Carl nags her about her drinking, but that in itself, you know, the combination of Carl potentially, allegedly nagging her about drinking and Lindsay retaliating, that's an unhealthy communication style. That's an unhealthy, toxic relationship style to be thinking that way and be doing those types of things. You know, I do find it odd that every Friday night fight happens when there's no cameras around for the audience to interpret it. I don't know what that means. You know, I don't know who initiates that argument. I don't know if it's, you know, according to Carl, it's Lindsay. According to Lindsay, it's Carl. We'll never know. But clearly a lot of the issues involve alcohol use. They were at their best when Lindsay was not drinking. And, you know, just from things that have been said on the show, I think maybe what happened was, you know, when Carl was struggling with his sobriety and Lindsay decided to go sober for a couple months to help him, I think maybe Carl thought that she would continue that forever, that she, you know, saw how how healthy their relationship was during those moments, how they were getting along better, you know, maybe even for her, a bit of a healthier lifestyle. But that's not the case. And now I don't know this for a fact. This is just my opinion. But I do think the job security of being on the party show maybe influenced Lindsay's decision to start drinking again. Maybe not. Maybe not entirely, but I do think that it plays a significant role that people often don't think about. You know, if Carl gets labeled boring all the time by y'all out here in the comment section because I don't want to say because he's sober, because I don't think it's boring. Like, as somebody who is married to somebody who is sober, I find that way more relatable going through those struggles than, you know, I can't think of another example off the top of my head, but Carl's very open and honest about his sobriety struggle. And what I love about reality TV is that it is more relatable than something that is scripted. So I would rather see that over something that's fake. And, you know, just because somebody isn't drinking doesn't automatically make them boring. Look at Lala. I mean, Lala is like a reality TV rock star and she's been sober too. So I just think that label is definitely unfair. But I do think it's something that Lindsay probably picked up on. You know, and something that Carl said to me at the Summer House premiere party has really stuck with me. I didn't think much about it at the time, but he did say something along the lines of, I may be sober, but I'm still an a-hole, is what he said. So I'm just wondering, like, I want to say what he meant by that. Or if we'll see what he meant by that. You know what I mean? Like, if we'll see him start to be a little bit more combative in the relationship, because Lindsay does show up with a certain level of combativeness sometimes. You know, obviously their lack of intimacy is concerning. 10 years into a relationship is one thing. 2 years into a relationship is another. So all of these little red flags and some big are starting to pile up. So when it comes to Lindsay's claim that she was blindsided, the criticism is, how could you be blindsided? Like, look at what's happened the first 3 weeks. That's what people are saying, right? I think the reason that she used that terminology, just from what I gather from her in her interview clips, is because there wasn't any indication or conversation that ending the relationship was on the table. Like, the first time they talked about completely ending the relationship was when the relationship ended. And that is maybe why. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, if Carl would have showed up a couple weeks earlier and said, Lindsay, I think we really need to sit down and discuss whether or not this is right for us, whether or not we are on the right path, what our future looks like if we continue down this road, and then make a really hard decision. But instead, the decision was just made. You know, especially because according to her, he was showing up at the bridal shower, you know, doting over her on social media. So honestly, it comes down to how you interpret the word blindsided, right? Like, all of us are sitting here saying, how could you be blindsided? You guys, as of right now, fought the whole time. But had the conversation been initiated beforehand, even just a little hint, I think she maybe would not have used that word. But, you know, as of now, I think they're both in the wrong. You know, I think Lindsay is in the wrong for throwing such low blows. And I think Carl may be in the wrong for not being direct. And we'll have to see how that plays out, you know, in the scenes to come. I think one of the most shocking parts of Summer House so far this season is Paige, Amanda, and Lindsay getting along. Am I in the Twilight Zone? Did I just hear Paige DeSorbo say, I am very much so on your side, to Lindsay Hubbard? Somebody get a brown paper bag, hook me up to an oxygen tank. Because I never thought I would see the day. In that moment, I was deceased. You know, I think Amanda hit the nail on the head when she said that Carl thought Lindsay wouldn't fall into old behavioral patterns with him because she loved him. It would be different. And maybe it was at first, but I just think at the end of the day that Carl and Lindsay have very different ways of handling conflict. Let this be a PSA to everybody out there that communication is key. And when you don't have good communication in a relationship, this is how it ends. We're not like super thrilled with the way this one ended. All right, last but certainly not least, we're going to talk about two new shows and which one you should be watching. It's Battle of Vanderpump. We have The Valley and we have Vanderpump Villa. Both have 3 episodes out now. So which one should you watch? Because you're busy and your time is valuable. So I'll tell you which one you can skip. Honestly, Vanderpump Villa had me in the first half. I was like in it. There's a lot of drama. And then by episode 3, I was like really struggling to get through the episode. The Valley had the opposite effect on me. The first episode, I was like, oh, are you kidding? I have to get to know all these new people. I don't care. Like, I don't understand their relationship to each other. But by episode 3, I was like, give me more episodes of The Valley. First, I will say about Vanderpump Villa, I'm really intrigued as to why it's on Hulu and not on Bravo or on Peacock. You know, everyone is saying that Vanderpump Villa is Below Deck meets Vanderpump Rules, which it is. The premise of the show, they're in this big French chateau. It follows the staff. It follows the staff's interaction with the guests. And it's like a rotating door of guests coming through. Very Below Deck. But, you know, those two Bravo shows. And so I'm also just sitting here thinking, like, maybe Bravo and Peacock passed up on the show. But you would think that because Vanderpump Rules is such a big show and a huge success under the NBC umbrella, that they would have like rights to the Vanderpump name. Like you, like surely, I don't know. I just feel like there would be some kind of stipulation to where you can't name another show Vanderpump because we own the rights to Vanderpump Rules and it's too similar or whatever. But clearly that's not the case. I mean, typically that's how it goes. So I'm very intrigued how this one ended up on Hulu. I think honestly though, at this point with Vanderpump Villa, it's just kind of overdone. You know, we have enough group of friends, group of coworkers fighting with each other. We do. And Lisa knows how to make good TV and it almost feels a little bit forced. I will say, you know, Vanderpump Villa, it's very extravagant. It's beautiful. It's luxurious. It is very Lisa Vanderpump. But The Valley has grown on me a lot, which I think Lisa Vanderpump is also an executive producer of. But, you know, just comparing it to Vanderpump Rules, like, The Valley people have nothing to lose. Vanderpump Rules is starting to feel a little bit too manufactured to me. Even Jax, I don't know if you guys saw this. It was like a viral TikTok moment, but Jax was at his restaurant and he was going off on the microphone about how Vanderpump Rules is scripted and how, you know, he shows up the next episode and it was scripted and all this stuff and how The Valley isn't scripted. And it's like, you want to roll your eyes and be like, oh, that's just Jax. But like, it does kind of feel that way. A little bit. So I don't know. I'm very intrigued in the, honestly, it's Kristen Doty. Like the woman is unhinged. Nothing has changed in 15 years. Honestly, like when Jax Taylor isn't the main focal point of the drama as of right now, like you know that the drama has to be intense. Kristen even talking about when she got canceled back in 2020. The first episode that I watched of The Valley, I was really like, yearning for Stassi. I was like, I would love to see her in this mix. And this past episode, when Kristen was talking about her getting canceled, I was like, oh, imagine seeing Stassi talk about it too with Kristen. It would just make for such good TV. But yeah, so my opinion, if you have to choose one or over the other, I would go with The Valley and maybe skip Vanderpump Villa. I might change my mind, but that's where I'm at right now. All right, you guys, thanks again for tuning into another episode of MPT. Make sure you subscribe to the Patreon, whichever tier you want. The link is in the show notes below. Like I said, we have a Bravo tier, Bachelor tier, celebrity and pop culture. What am I missing? Survivor, of course. Oh, I can't wait to talk to my Survivor girlies. And the Love You Like Assist tier with all the extra perks. So please subscribe to that. If not, I'll see you back next week for another episode of MPT. And as always, Love You Like Assist.
A Huda Media Production.